America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It is Patriots Friday, and your football team was smoked on national television last night. If you went to bed early, we're jealous. And the score this morning might make it appear closer than it was. And so we will talk about that all morning, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Wiggy is in Florida, where he did an autograph signing last night at the Hard Rock Casino. Are you staying for the weekend, Wiggs? Are you coming back?
No, on my flight, I'm coming back today. I got a flight because I'm going to UMass tomorrow.
What does UMass have?
They are playing Central Connecticut.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Ooh, CCSU.
Yep, so hopefully they can get a dub.
Will we see any action by the Wiggins boys?
Well, the older one gets a little bit of crumbs, so okay. You'll see the older one. The younger one's still waiting his time.
Okay.
Let's go, Don Brown. Wake up.
Yeah, well, you know what? So hopefully he gets a little bit more player time as the year progresses. Right now they're 0-3, so they got to do some things to change it up.
He's kind of like Lloyd Carr to Brady with your sons.
And you two are also fraudulent Eagles fans, because if you're not going to that game tomorrow night.
I'm not a fraudulent Eagles fan. It just I had plans for this weekend. So, I mean, going into the season, I was excited for Bill O'Brien. I didn't know if it was going to be as impressive as we've seen. So,
I'll be
watching on TV.
Sounds rather fair weather.
It's really not if you're watching on TV.
I may stop by. We'll see. Ooh. We'll see how the day goes.
All right, Curtis.
All right.
I'll hop in the booth. I'll call a quarter on EEI.
Get James a meatball in a cup.
He loves a good meatball. He doesn't get those at home, so he'll be very happy.
All right, back to the news.
Well, you brought up the Patriots, and Patrick Pass has spoken out following his arrest for a scuffle at a Planet Fitness in Rhode Island back in August. He was arrested on Wednesday. He's denied assaulting an 82-year-old man over some workout equipment. Here's what Pass had to say on WJAR.
Look at me. You think I'm going to do that? Really? Please, come on. I have better things to do than try to assault someone.
Not a great excuse. I have other things to do besides assaulting someone.
What are the deets? Did they give the actual details of it, or are we just saying workout equipment? Like, was there an argument that pursued?
It was a verbal argument over workout equipment on the floor of the gym, and then it turned into Pass allegedly shoving the 82-year-old. He fell on his back. Apparently, he's injured his lower back.
Isn't that usually a gym, there's other people there.
There's cameras, for sure.
Yeah, if you see two people arguing, you would think that somebody would kind of just be watching, and they would say, okay, I did see that.
Courtney, how old was the gentleman?
82.
So, Greg, as the resident old person, if you're at the gym at Echelon, there a tie goes to the geezer? Do you get...
Well, people do get into it, I guess. I would refrain from, if the person is over the age of, 60.
Let them have it.
Let them get their reps.
Courtney, what is the female perspective about a guy that has gloves to lift weights?
Not great. Okay. Not great. It's also I used to go to a gym. Now I do a workout class, and I like it so much more because at the gym, the people that grunt while they're lifting weights, it is too much. There is one person that is at the gym that I used to go to, and any time that I was in this private, room that doing, small weights for me, he'd come in with these massive weights and make these noises. And I said, sir, if you sound like that, they're too heavy.
You said that?
They're too heavy.
I'm a grunter, though. I'm a grunter. I think a lot of people grunt when they're putting in that heavy work, heavy weight.
I think that's a hard-o move. That's a, look at
well,
me.
Well, what is he supposed to do? Not
to go a few weights down,
but he's probably trying to bulk up. He's trying to get his...
Yeah, but build up to that. It was Wiggy, and it wasn't just weights. It was him doing yoga moves and being ugh.
Save that.
What is this Jago on the text line talking about? Is Greg missing all of his toenails? What a weirdo. No, I'm not.
What in the world?
Like, Courtney put up the Instagram this morning on the show Instagram with my feet because of the BC red bandana slides from iSlide.
Do your feet look bad?
No, I think my feet look great. Like, I think, honestly, one of my better body parts, my feet.
You know what? You actually have very clean toenails.
Yeah.
Like, you keep them in good shape, and it looks like you don't even have toenails in this video.
No.
So I understand what they're saying, but he has them. They're clean.
Yeah. Greg, be honest. When it comes to weightlifting and somebody comes in and sees you with a 10-pound weight, you immediately say, it's just for tone. Just for tone.
Really beautiful feet.
I think I have great feet. One of my, that and my butt.
Okay.
Are both extraordinary.
Right. You also have supreme modesty.
Stinky feet.
All right. Can we continue with the news, please?
Yes. My favorite time of the year, because this year's Toy Hall of Fame finalists are here.
Oh, Chime. Here you go.
Yep. 12 finalists. We've got Apples to Apples.
Great game.
Balloons are a finalist. I love balloons.
You mean just balloons in general?
Yep, just balloons.
How are balloons in general not in the Toy Hall of Fame?
I know.
Like,
agreed. Choose your own adventure game books.
I love parades. I love balloons.
I don't know. I don't know none of these toys.
Hess toy trucks.
Oh God,
they should be in there.
Come on,
My Little.
That was a Christmas go-to for everybody when we were young.
Great jingle too.
Yes, yes.
My Little Pony, which I'm shocked isn't in there. Phase 10.
Never heard of it.
Don't know what that is.
Shime, Pokemon trading card game.
Shoe in. Lock it in.
All right.
Remote control vehicles.
All right.
Sequence.
Nope.
Stick horse.
What is
Don't
it?
Don't know what that
stick
is.
Stick horse.
Oh, that's the thing they used to play at the Diddy Freak-Offs.
Oh.
Is that the one?
I don't think so. Oh, okay. I don't think so. A trampoline.
Uh-huh.
And Transformers.
Ooh, okay. I love Transformers.
So the inductees will be announced in November.
Where How is the hell Hall of Fame?
Balloons ain't a toy.
Well, neither is a trampoline.
Technically, right, it is. A trampoline is a toy.
Really?
Yeah, I would say a trampoline you could categorize
just
as
like a pogo stick is a toy.
Right. Like, you can't really, I don't know, I feel like a toy, I have to have some type of way to get some type of entertainment out of it by using it. I don't know, like, what am I, unless I'm putting water in a balloon, what else am I doing using it for?
You make balloon animals.
But a balloon's not really, I mean, it was a toy maybe in the 30s. It's not really a toy.
So was the stick horse. You would know. You used it as a child.
Yeah,
but the stick horse is like, actually, all that is you, if I'm thinking where you get on it and you have your feet and it's just like a whole, like a
No, it's literally just a stick with a horse's head on the end.
Yeah, but that's like a toy in the sense that you could go outside and you can like make believe you're riding it and something like that. You can get entertainment out of that with a balloon. Like I said, unless you're putting water in it, what can you do with it?
That's the Pokemon TCG should be in Nomad, like, easy.
Yeah.
It's not even close. Pokemon is the greatest media franchise profitability-wise of all time.
Yes, Kothine.
They've made like $90 billion.
Yeah, but the toys of Pokemon, the little ones that you can spin them and they pop up, that I get. But just the cards themselves shouldn't be categorized as a toy. You have to get – a toy means I can go out there by myself as a kid and get some type of entertainment out of it.
Yeah, I got plenty out of Pokemon cards. Trust me.
What?
Are we going to do the Nerds in the News story speaking of Pokemon?
I was just going to say, great segue.
All right, let's get to it.
The Greg Hill Show presents Nerds in the News.
Shime, have you ever gotten like your Pokemon card collection evaluated?
No. So I don't have cards old enough to be worth a ton of money. Like, I have some cards that are probably worth like 50 to 100 bucks, but like nothing that it's like in the thousands, I would say.
So a guy just discovered his old Pokemon collection is worth over $5,000.
Yes, score.
Sounds about right, especially if you have like the old binders from the original generation. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes, nailed it.
They're in high demand right now, Greg.
Yes. So, what's the value of it?
Over $5,000. Santo's getting his evaluated right now. here is Juan Pardo.
Okay, what's your total at?
$668.
That's crazy. You must know how much luck this game.
You might get some good ones on this one.
Which one's the most valuable card you scanned so far?
Okay, so it's scanned in, says it's first edition, but it's not. So you go you watch it go from 636 to 502. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
All right.
But did he rent the woman to be in that with him, or how did that?
No, Greg.
That was his mom's.
There's a lid for every pot, Greg.
Well, you should get yours checked out, Sean. You might be sitting on a small fortune over
I might
there.
Have to. I do have a really valuable Charizard card, but that's it's not like one of the original ones. Unfortunately.
You better get that thing appraised.
I want to know where all my Beanie Babies went when I was younger.
Those are worth nothing.
I was told that the Princess Di Beanie Baby was going to be, you know, your ticket to wealth when you were an adult, and I don't know where they are.
I bet it's worth something.
Yeah, you could still get money for it. There's a good, Courtney, there's a good TV series on Netflix. I'm drawing a blank on
there's a movie. Are you talking about the movie?
No, I'm talking about the Netflix TV series about the guy who he created like some type of company where he goes and he gets all type of memorabilia. They see how much it's worth.
Oh.
And they had like Beanie Babies on there. So
are you talking about like Antique Roadshow?
No, it's not Antique Roadshow. It's on Netflix. Greg, I'm sorry I'm drawing a blank on the name. But it's like some guy out of New York where he has a company and they go around and they appraise like, you know, they had a Jackie Robinson worn jersey with blood on it and they talked about how much it's worth. So
The Beanie Baby movie is pretty good. You see that?
Oh, that's the one with Zach Galifianakis?
Yes.
Okay.
And the woman who worked there, who basically came up with all the ideas, got screwed out of the whole thing.
Wasn't she played by Melissa McCarthy? Was she in that?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so, Wiggy.
All right. I'm just double checking.
But it's a good movie.
I know what you're talking about.
It's a good movie. All right, is that it?
Well, we're just going to end with a PSA. If you've got older grandparents or older parents that maybe are in retirement homes, senior citizens are responsible for an alarming rise when it comes to an STI epidemic. A new study says that rates of syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia in sexually active people over the age of 55, Greg, more than doubled in the U.S. over the 10-year period from 2012 to 2022, and it's only going up from there.
First of all, this drives me nuts. 55 is not senior citizen. Like, we've changed the age at which somebody is considered an adult, like to 25 or something like that, so everything else ought to go up.
But I think they do it based off of like the...
Well, things going up at your age is usually a concern.
Like a lot of those old folks' homes that were a 55 plus, I think that's probably why they do it. Right, Greg?
Yeah.
I guess.
Anything goes once you hit those places, Greg. Are you going to change your mind once you get to that age in a couple of years? Like just like move into a place with all old people and
maybe.
Just go nuts?
Yeah, maybe
no way.
I will. I mean, I don't know. I feel like this job keeps me young.
Yeah, it does.
You keep us young, Greg.
Courtney, what's that place that your parents live in with the nude, you know, is it big over there?
My parents are not in a swingers community. If you're new to the show, Wiggy just likes to say that.
No, I'm telling you. Remember when we came down to Florida?
Yeah, they have a nude pool, right?
Yeah, they were like the neighborhood.
No, they don't belong to it. It's a few blocks over from their
course. The other couple
course.
That they're always, why are they always with that other couple?
Why do you think that?
It's my dad's best friend from childhood. So the four of
What's
them are
mean?
Very close. Greg apparently doesn't have any close friends.
I know. By that logic, Courtney, he and Bobes are switching.
Right.
I don't know. They didn't know where the swingers pool was.
They think it's crazy, hilarious.
Okay. Yeah, that's what all swingers say.
Well, I'm glad that you guys, keep your circle so small.
Why?
You guys don't have a best friend.
But what's going on? Like, old people are having sex.
Unprotected.
Unprotected.
And they're saying that condoms can affect if a man is unable to have an erection, it is harder. As you get older, I've heard it is harder for you to get an erection, and so putting a condom on is difficult.
Can interfere in the process?
Correct.
Mentally or something?
I believe maybe mentally. But it is interesting. They've broken it down into actual states that are leading the way when it comes to seniors with STIs.
It has to be Florida.
No. Shocking, Curtis.
Wow.
South Dakota is leading with the highest rate of syphilis in seniors.
Well, to be fair, in South Dakota, that could be one person by a per capita basis.
Yeah, that's true. D.C. leads the way in gonorrhea.
Wow.
And Alaska recorded the highest rate of chlamydia.
Huh. Jesus.
Okay.
So good job, Massachusetts.
Not a lot to do in Alaska, so right. I understand that.
And it gets the Wi-Fi access.
All right. Great job, Courtney.
Hey, thank you.
That is the news. Coming up at 9:30, 9:20 or so, our guy Nick Kostos will tell you how to wager this weekend. Is it, we don't have time for this, but is it okay at this point after last night to select an alternate spouse in the form of another NFL team that you might root for this season?
Yeah, I think you can do that.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I don't know, Greg.
I feel like it's cheating, Wiggy.
Yeah, I don't think you can root for another team. Like,
what if it's not AFC? Like, yeah. It's like, I mean, definitely not division, but what if you choose an NFC team and adopt
like, I think you could, like, pick a team on who you think could win the Super Bowl.
Could you just root for a player?
No, I honestly think, Greg, what a lot of people are doing and will continue to do, their team is whoever the Chiefs play. So yeah. That, like, each week you root it because the Chiefs are trying to get what you've had and you want them to be stopped.
It just blows, like, after last night, are you anticipating the Niners game at all?
No,
they're going to get destroyed by the San Francisco 49ers.
And yeah, that's the team what I'm think. Adopting.
It is? That would be who you would adopt?
Yeah, the Niners, yeah.
I don't know, Greg. I have a sneaky suspicion that there's a chance.
Don't get caught up with the Vikings game, Greg. Because remember, before Justin
that Brian
Jefferson,
Flores defense real good.
Yeah, but before Justin Jefferson got hurt, he had what 133 yards.
Yeah, but
we
if
don't
Justin
have
Jefferson's
a Justin
not
Jefferson
in the game, then.
No, I know that, but we don't have a Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I'm not saying offensively you'll look good, but the defense might look a lot better.
Yeah, I think the defense of the Patriots will look better, but you got no offense.
It didn't look good last night.
No, it didn't.
They couldn't wrap guys up.
No, it didn't.
They can't tackle.
Yeah.
Right. They're like the Villages.
Greg, I think that you're right. The Jets are a good football team, and the defense didn't look great, but your offense is so bad. Like, 24 points... It's really not a lot of points in today's football.
It could have been more though, Wiggy. Like,
you couldn't even muster up a touchdown. So it seems like, you know, if you lose that game 24-14 because you're able to score two touchdowns, I don't think the defense performance looks as bad. You know what I'm trying to get at? When you've got no offense, it's kind of like, oh my God, the defense has to be perfect.
Like Gerard Mayo on this show over and over again, we're going to be a run team. We're going to run the ball at them. They have to try to stop us. They can't even run the football, or at least last night they couldn't.
Well, they only gave Ramondre 6 carries.
Well, that's he got a little banged up.
But even Gibson only had, what, 5?
And by the time they started to try and run the football, they were already down 7.
Yep. That is
but
true.
He peels off a great run, and then it gets called back on the face mask. Like,
which was kind of his own fault, to be fair.
Yes. All right. Anyway, let's get to Courtney into what is trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. The Patriots fall 1-2 on the season with a brutal 24-3 loss to the Jets. We'll be talking about that all morning long. And get excited, BC fans. We have a night game tomorrow night. 8 p.m. kickoff at Alumni against Michigan State for the Red Bandana game. This game will be able to be heard right on these very airwaves following the Red Sox game. And the Sox got shut out by the Rays yesterday 2-0. Alex Cora talked about the offensive struggles over the last month as featured on last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
So the same thing has been happening for a month and a half. We're not executing. At one point, like I said, we were the best offense in baseball against righties, and now we're not producing runs. So, yeah, he did a good job moving the cutter, throwing four seamers up, expanding with a split down. Kind of like the same thing we saw the first few days here.
He sounds tired.
He sounds broken.
Yeah.
He does sound like a broken man.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com, today. The boys are back home to take on the Twins tonight, 7:10 first pitch, with Richard Fitz getting the start. You can hang out with Coop at 6:10 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app. And today only, stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Save $3 per pound on chicken wings. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Great job. 62 degrees, cloudy skies, afternoon high in the mid-60s, sort of like Greg.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
That is Jacoby Brissett post game after a dismal effort by that entire football team. I guess maybe special teams. Is there any light in the tunnel anywhere, Wiggy?
No, not really. Because I mean, so special teams is fine. What? Guess what? You punted the ball and you didn't do anything crazy. Didn't make mistakes. But I also look at it like this. I was so teased after Cincinnati. Now I'm wondering, like, should I jump off the ship in the sense of, like, Cincinnati was just Kevin McHale pump fake and it got me so bad?
Yeah, or, I mean, I think it did. I'm sure that you're, you know, I'm not sure. You can call and tell us. If your mood changed after week one, are you back to where you were before this season started?
I'm almost there.
You are?
Yeah.
Really?
And I'm honestly concerned that James will be like me and Larry Bird. Like, I'll grow up and I'll be told all about the good days and not have any. Like, what a time to be born, right at the end of all this. Like, this is year five, but it's really year one. And we can all agree it's really hard to find a great quarterback, right? Those are most valuable thing in sports. It's not hard to build an offensive line. It just takes money. And whoever was in charge of that, and it's Robert Kraft at the top, is really the ones with blood on their hands today. Because whatever Jacoby Brissett is, he's not going to reach it. And whatever Drake May can be will not be reached at all.
Behind this line. Composed with a couple rookies and practice squad guys. And now, Curtis, you want to answer this 508 text on the Subaru of New England text line? Curtis, you hypocrite.
Oh, I mean, this person's texted 62 times this morning.
I guess this team can't play for Mayo either. Where is your stupid comment bashing Belichick now?
Well, yeah. I mean, Bill and Gerard Mayo each started 1-2. I mean, I don't know. They won four games for Bill Belichick last year. Anybody who thinks that he would be winning with this team, too, is not right. I was reacting in week one to everybody who told me the training camp was a joke. They weren't going to be prepared. They were doing virtual reps. They were taking days off. You know, Andy Gresh found out they went to a YMCA and nearly lost his mind. And they were ready week one. Since then, since the fourth quarter of week two, it has been nothing but debacles.
Do you think the vibe will change, though?
Inside the locker room?
Well, yeah, like, because we've been talking about vibes. This whole season's been about vibes, right? And with Gerard Mayo leading the way, we thought that the vibes were going to be good. But now that...
If we had Gerard Mayo on today, which we would normally do after the game, we'll have him Monday, I would ask him, in hindsight, do you think it's wise to reward players who speak out against their inclusion in the offense at the expense of getting your running game started the way you should have? Mm. Because that's my biggest... For Gerard Mayo specifically, he didn't build the team, but the bizarre decision to reward someone who complained publicly about their playing time with several touches to start the game.
Well, that would be the difference between him and Bill. Like, that would never happen with Bill. What would happen with Pop Douglas, right? So those are the things that we'll start looking at, and whether or not, like, and Greg, you're kind of always on this, like, I understand that your personality is different and how you approach things with Mayo and how he, you know, he kind of like a player's coach, but does he give them, and I don't want to, like, does he give them too much of a rope to where it's like,
So in the case of Pop Douglas, he, you know, pops off, pun intended, and the game plan, it appears to switch to make him happy.
Right.
And let's try and see if we can get the ball to him. I mean, yeah.
Because then that opens the door for that opens the door for Hunter Henry to be like, man, they didn't get me involved in the offense, and look what like. So I think that's kind of the thing. That's going to kind of be what we look at kind of moving forward. We saw a little bit with the offensive lineman who basically, I forget, what's his name? Akora? What do I want to say Akora for?
You're right. Chuck's Akora for?
Right. So, like, who left the team?
He left. He left.
Yeah.
And then we asked Gerard Mayo about it last week, and he said, yeah, I reached out to him to make sure that he's, you know, doing okay, and, you know.
So is that, that's going to be the thing? Like, I think those are the things, other than the on-the-field stuff where we compare Mayo to Bill, those are going to be the things where we compare Mayo style to Bill style, right? I don't think a player has ever just said, you know what, I'm walking off, I'm done with Bill, and walked away. You know,
I mean, it happened. I think John Lynch came in and quit. Albert Haynesworth, I think, left. I don't know.
Haynesworth, I think he ended up playing throughout the whole season. If a player usually leaves, it's because they move on from him. Michael Bennett, they moved on from.
Well, didn't he punch a coach or something?
Well, yeah, him and Brett Bielema got into it, and then
Haynesworth got into it too.
Right,
somebody.
But no, it's but Greg, you make the point all the time. It's going to be interesting to see how, and Courtney brought this up, in the face of adversity, how that style plays.
Works, yeah, this is Joe. Joe.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Joe from Buzzards Bay. What's up, Joe?
Hey, I just want to talk. You know, I'm a young man. I'm 22. And, you know, Tom Brady was my quarterback before I was born, and by the time I was 18. And watching this team now, you know, if Tom Brady had this whole line, he would have been injured within the first year. I mean, it's insane. This, you know, we were hearing about this whole line all preseason, and I think they finally show what they really are in this game. I mean, it's insane. With this O line, I mean, it's crazy. Yep. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm in Minnesota right now working in
Entirely. In my opinion, it's not entirely on the offensive line.
I thought you were too quick with that one.
I mean, a lot of it is on the guy you have playing quarterback.
Yeah, he holds the ball too long.
He's not the guy.
I mean, think about last night's game. There were times that, and this is why, you know, Shime, get on that all-22. There were times when Jacoby did have time in the pocket, and he's just holding on to the ball. Like, sometimes you have to have a little bit of, you know, I don't want to say confidence because I think he has confidence, but sometimes you just got to say, you know what, I'm going to let it rip in this situation. And I don't think he's not doing that, and that's leading to these type of sacks because he's holding on to the ball too long rather than just saying, you know what, I'm going to try to fit it into this tight window.
The 774 text that says it looks like a team that knows quite well that their only hope lies with Drake May and are frustrated by that.
See, I don't think that's the case. Like, I think last night they were demoralized from the set. Like, even when Drake May got into the game, there was zero juice.
That time it was too late, Sean. By the time he got in the game, it was like, you know, there's not going to be any juice. You're just like, please, this 4.5 minutes needs to go by quick so we can get in the shower, get the hell out of here, and get it back to Foxborough. That's where that was last night. I think maybe if he gets the reps and, like, let's say into going into San Francisco, they make the decision like he's going to be the starter, maybe you then get some guys that have a different feel, they get that juice, especially in the wide receiver room, because they feel like, all right, we got a guy who's going to let it rip.
Were you able to take anything from that series with Drake May, Wiggy? Like, I mean,
the fact that he took some big hits, he got up from it.
The first throw was almost intercepted. He took a couple sacks.
But he took a big hit, and he got up. Like, that one sack, he was, like, spinning. And, like, as he turned around, he got crushed, and he got up.
He almost fumbled the snap. He was looking over at the sideline.
Yeah.
And then made a laser of a throw to Pop Douglas over the middle of the field.
Okay. Yeah. Settle down.
I'm just saying. That was the best throw he had made all night, like, in the one drive. That was a great throw.
Do you think if he retired today, it would be 5 years and he'd be in the Hall of Fame?
He'd be in my Hall of Fame, Curtis.
And, Greg, you got to understand, if he is the starter, he's now going to get 100% of all the reps. He's gonna be a lot more confident in the game plan.
They're not going to start him in advance of the San Francisco 49ers.
Why not? You have
Why
a,
not?
Like a
I'm with Sean.
Week. This is the best opportunity. It's like almost a half of a bye week. You get extra time to prepare him. It's the perfect opportunity. The San Francisco defense is good, but, I mean, Sam Darnold torch them up a little bit. Like, if he can do it, you can do it.
And I have a question. When Bill undoubtedly discusses the Patriots at length this week because they stink right now, do you think he'll take credit for all the players that sucked on the field?
Well, we'll be interesting to see what he says about New England this week.
I mean, he took credit for Keon White, so maybe take credit for Uche's penalty or Tavai or, you know.
Keon White looks good.
Let's keep it a buck, as they say.
Well, it'll be interesting. When's he on McAfee? Is he on today?
Be Monday at 1 o'clock.
But doesn't he have something today?
Yeah, he has, I think, his 16th podcast of the week.
I think they do the Monday night preview, he and Peyton. They do that on Fridays. Right. So.
And when's Inside the NFL?
Oh, that's tonight. I don't know when that show is. It's on the CW.
That would be a good time because the Pats would be the only game that played, so he would have no choice but to talk about that game.
It's on tonight.
But I do think that that's taped in. I think that's like the prior week games. But maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
For those asking, Gerard Mayo will be on with us Monday for Mayo Monday. So we'll talk to Gerard Mayo on this show Monday morning. And unlike Curtis's hair, we'll be right back.
Hey!
Well, Gerard Mayo is right about one thing. Lack of fundamentals, lack of execution is what you saw last night, not only from the defense, but all points of the – all three aspects of the game last night. An absolute S show when it comes to the New England Patriots. Here is Jesse from New Bedford. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
What's going on? Listen, everybody that keeps calling in, and it's driving me bananas, that's talking about the O-line, and, you know, and Wiki's right, Shine's right. The O-line, you can't put Drake May out there. Listen, Brissett holds the ball for too long. Does the line stink? Yes, it does. But you need to get the ball out quicker, and on top of that, where is the blitz protections? Where's sliding your protection over? Where's pointing your blitzer out? You know, a free rusher comes through. That's on the quarterback. He's going to line up his guys. How many times did you see Aaron Rodgers roll out to his right and throw on the run on the money to one of his receivers? That's what Drake May can do. He can escape the pocket. Brissett just stands there like a statue and holds it. He sees a blitz right over the line coming right at him, does nothing. So does the O-line stink? Yes. Are our receivers young? Yes. But that's another reason you put Drake May in there. He's got to grow. And all these people that say you can't put May out there because the line, he's going to get him killed. Well, is the line going to be that much better 6, 7, 8 games from now or even next year?
I mean,
maybe
a
little bit.
Great
but
question.
But this is football. You got to let him play.
Yeah, that's what Wiggy's been saying. I mean, there are some on the text line that say that you're – wrong about Brissett, and the issue is the O-line. It's not Jacoby Brissett.
It can be, as they say, multifactorial, Greg.
Yeah.
However, do we all agree that Drake May is going to need to endure growing pains as he becomes the starting quarterback in the NFL?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be preferable to have those growing pains on a team that you know isn't going anywhere?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So outside of injury, which we can use the Joe Burrow analogy, it's modern medicine and it's unlikely, but if the worst-case scenario occurs, he's got 2, 4, 10 games under his belt and is ready next year.
See, here's the difference between Mayo and Bill that I like a little bit, like, more in this sense with Bill, where I wish Mayo would take this out of Bill's playbook. Bill always used to say, I'm going to do what's best for the team to give us the best chance to win. And I would ask the simple question, who gives you a better chance to win at quarterback, Drake May or Jacoby Brissett? And if you say Drake May, then he should be playing.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, after last night, I feel like even Jerod Mayo, we played it and they said it, Craig. He totally changed his tune on the quarterback position. I mean, he went from 100% behind Jacoby to kind of, meh.
I mean, it's not just Jacoby Brissett, too, though. I mean, it's
right.
It's Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
James calls him Alex Van Poop.
They're
smashed him.
You know, they're a run-first football team. They go out that first three and out. And if that's their strength, they didn't. I mean, was there even a run play in that first
three?
Yeah,
on second down for 1 yard, Ramondre Stevenson had. But first play was play action sack. Second play was a 1 yard run.
Right. And Elliot Wolf, like, derelict in his duties when it came to the offensive line. Derelict.
Yeah, he's the biggest. Like, that's to me is the biggest. Like, you were an active player for Brandon Ayuk. Like, why wouldn't you be an active player for, you know, maybe a disgruntled offensive lineman or somebody that might have been available in free agency?
Have a sense of urgency, Wiggy, to address a big problem. They did none of it.
Well, I don't think I would ever say this, and I didn't think I would ever say this, but I would have rather you brought Trent Brown back. Who would have said that? Like, I didn't think I would ever say that after last season, but I would much rather have Trent Brown here than, you know, the left tackles that you have.
If you're part of the camp that believes that it was not Jerod Mayo's choice to put Jacoby Brissett out there week one and that he was forced into it, Jerod Mayo's got to be feeling pretty good today. Like, if he could prove people wrong, saying that this was not the right decision for us, and to switch that quickly, immediately after the game, to go from we are 100% behind Jacoby Brissett to what he said last night, makes me believe even more so Wiggy was right.
I don't know. Look, we talk about every single week, you know, you're competing for a job. So we'll get together as a coaching staff and see where it goes.
Yeah, I don't think he's feeling that great this morning. No Gatorade bath last night for Jerod Mayo.
But you know what I mean?
What does that mean?
Here is Mike.
How's Bill's team looking this weekend?
Bill's making $50 million dollars a year.
Oh, Chris. Okay. Robert Kraft's making $1 billion. I still think he's bad at his job.
Hello, Mike?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, how you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Not much. Hey, I know the offensive line is terrible. I think the frustrating part is that back in April and May, you know, that Elliot Wolf thought that Chokes Okorafor was going to be a good left tackle in Vidarian Lowe at about $4 million, and we spent all the last 6 months just trying to find a number one wide receiver offering $34 million to them, yet we would never be able to get them the ball in time. And that's my first point. The second point regarding Drake May, after watching the game, I just don't agree with Shyman. And Wiggy, I mean, Drake May was 4 for 8, 50% completion with 2 sacks, and Jacoby was 12 for 18, 66 completions with 5 sacks. So it's about 30% sack average, and he's just going to get killed. I love Drake as much as anybody else, but there was no time to throw the ball at any point.
Yeah, but we've talked about this before. If those two were playing the similar time, who gives you a better chance to win?
Drake May.
Right, because of his skill set.
In one drive, Wiggy, you saw it. He got you inside the 10-yard line. He was out there for one drive. He got sacked twice. Yes, he was 4 of 8. He still had you inside the 10-yard line. That was close to the end zone. Then Jacoby Brissett got you all night.
Also, I know it's a moral victory thing, but why not allow him to try to punch it in there?
Oh, I agree. I would have called the time out there with 14 seconds and let him give him a shot.
Yeah, I don't get
that
one either.
It's like giving up.
Because like it would have even at least just been an opportunity to see what he looks like in the red zone. Even if he doesn't get it in the end zone, like give him a chance.
All right. Quick reminder that if you cannot listen to this show and this station on the radio, you can stream it every day at weei.com. You can also listen on the Odyssey app, That means you can listen to us from wherever you are at any time, day or night. Is it jarring when you run into somebody walking down the street who is listening to the show in real time in the afternoon or the evening? Has that
it's
happened
very
to you?
Cool. Yeah, it happened to me once.
It's of interest. I ran into a very nice man in the Seaport the other day who was actually listening to the actual show. He's like, it's 7:30 a.m. in my mind. I'm listening to the show right now as it's happening. So do that on the Odyssey app. We'll be right back.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.